This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys!
Take one. Hey there, you groovy time travelers.
You guys may remember when we did our episode about the year 1965, and we had told you that we decided we were going to talk about each year that falls within Generation X.
So we started with 1965, and we're going to go all the way through till 1980.
Yeah, and we thought since the name of this podcast is The Gen X Couple, we would talk about Gen X stuff.
So today we are taking a far out reach through history. We're stepping into our psychedelic time machine and setting the dial to 1966, a year of big hair, bigger cars, and even bigger culture shifts.
This was the year that the Beatles stopped touring, Batman hit the small screen, and a new science fiction show called Star Trek boldly went where no man had gone before. Oh, did I mention that gas was only 32 cents a gallon? Yeah, let's all take a moment to weep about that, you guys.
Oh, I could fill up my car with the fives. We'll cover the top songs, movies, TV shows, fashion trends, weird inventions, and pop culture moments that made 1966 a year to remember. So go put on your go-go boots,
yes.
Grab a Tab soda.
I remember Tab.
And let's take a wild ride back to the swinging 60s.
My Nana used to always have Tab in her fridge. I remember drinking that as a little kid.
I've never tried a Tab.
Really? It was it's a cola. I don't even remember if it was better than Coke, worse than Coke. I don't know where it fell in the Coke-Pepsi Tab challenge, but I remember drinking it at my Nana's house when I was a kid. But anyway, back to 1966. I definitely was not a kid in 1966. I just want to be clear with everybody. I wasn't even thought of in 1966. But the radio in 1966 was on fire. The British invasion was still going strong, Motown was ruling the charts, and psychedelic rock was just starting to take hold. Here are some of the biggest songs of the year. Number 10, Sunny by Bobby Hebb. A song so bright you needed sunglasses. Haha. Number 9, You Keep Me Hanging On by The Supremes. And Diana Ross had everyone belting this one out in the mirrors. Number 8 was Good Lovin' by the Young Rascals, a song that could cure any bad mood. Number 7 was Wild Thing by the Troggs, which was the ultimate garage rock anthem. 6 was Reach Out, I'll Be There by the Four Tops, which was classic Motown magic. Number 5 was 96 Tears. by question mark and the Mysterians. I don't even know. I don't know the song. I don't know anything about this one. But apparently it was the birth of garage rock weirdness. Number four was Paperback Writer by the Beatles. I'm pretty sure the Beatles could literally write about anything and make it a hit, right? Number three, I was so excited to see this on the list, was The Last Train to Clarksville by the Monkees. I was obsessed with the Monkees. They had made a comeback, I think, in the mid to late 80s, or I don't know, maybe it was the early 90s. And they had toured, and we had seen them at Great Woods, which is a local concert venue. I love the Monkees.
I love that show.
They had a TV show, and then they had songs on the radio. So good. I was so excited to see this on the list. Anyway, number two was Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones. And number one was a banger, California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas. And I'm pretty sure that song made everyone want to move to California.
So also in 1966, something huge happened. The Beatles quit touring. Yep, they were done with screaming fans, terrible sound systems, and decided to focus on the studio instead. The result? Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in 1967, which changed music forever.
That is such a good album. It's still good to this day. But in Hollywood in 1966 was serving up everything from epic westerns to sci-fi spectacles. Here are the biggest movies of the year. And I took this list because I was afraid there were a few things on here that Chris might mispronounce, especially this first one. Actually, can you say this first one? It was the 10th biggest movie hit of the year?
Fahrenheit?
Yeah, okay. I was wrong. You could pronounce it. So the 10th biggest movie of the year was Fahrenheit 451, which was a terrifying look at the future where books are illegal. And I'm pretty sure there's a banned books list in this current age. I've never seen the movie, but it's crazy that there are books that are banned. You guys should go read every single book on that banned book list because there are so many classics on that list. Just my two cents. Number nine was The Fortune Cookie. Never heard of it. Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon brought the laughs. Oh, weren't they the guys in Grumpy Old Men?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen that one. Number eight was a movie called Hawaii, which had sweeping landscapes, romance, and Julie Andrews. Okay. Number seven was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Elizabeth Taylor's most intense role. A Man for All Seasons was number six, and that was a Best Picture winner, and it was about politics and betrayal. Number five was The Sand Pebbles. It had Steve McQueen doing what Steve McQueen does best, being cool. Number four was The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, which featured Clint Eastwood, ponchos, and an iconic soundtrack. Number three was Batman the Movie. Yep. Pow, zap, holy big screen debut, Batman. Number two was Blow Up, a mystery thriller that made photography look very suspicious. And the number one movie was Fantastic Voyage, and that was about scientists that shrunk down to microscopic size and traveled inside a human body, which was sci-fi at its finest at the time. Just want to make a note, I've never seen one of those movies. Have you seen any of those?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
Okay,
so but there was a few on there that they remade.
Yeah, there were. What were they, though? I have to look.
They've remade Batman, Fantastic Voyage.
Oh. I've never seen the remake either. It doesn't sound interesting enough for me to waste 2 hours of my life watching it, so there's that.
So also in 66 was TV, and that was legendary. Let's run down some of the biggest shows. Batman, Adams West, campy crime-fighting was peak in the 60s. Star Trek, one of my favorite shows, the sci-fi show that changed everything.
I have never seen an episode of Star Trek. I'm very proud of this fact. I never will. It's on my list of life goals to never see an episode of Star Trek.
That's because you're a Borg.
What? What did you just say? Borg?
Yeah.
Did you mean bougie?
No, Borg. That's an alien race in Star
Trek. What do you mean Star Trek words? I don't understand, and I don't want to know more Star Trek words. I already know that hand symbol that Mr. Spock does.
So, also in 66,
he rolled his eyes at me, by the way.
Monkees, a fake band that became way too real.
I know, we just talked about it. They were put together, like, I don't know, what are some other boy bands that were put together? Was NSYNC put together? One Direction was definitely put together by Simon Cowell, but the Monkees were put together, but they came together, and I know Mike Nesmith wasn't happy with the whole thing, but they made some really, really good music together.
Yes.
Sorry.
Also, Mission Impossible, Spy, Suspense, and Self-Destructing Messages, Bewitched, Samantha's Nose Twitches, TV History, and another classic, I Dream a Genie, a genie and an astronaut. I've watched all these shows and loved them.
The only ones I haven't seen are, as you know, Star Trek, and I've never seen Mission Impossible. I've never seen any of the movies. You know why? Is the movies based on the TV show?
Yes.
Okay.
It's good. I like it.
All right. I have a thing about Tom Cruise, so I'll never see movies that star Tom Cruise, and I've never seen that show. But The Monkees was a great show. Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, and the original Batman show, all classics.
Yes.
So moving on to some pop culture, the first Super Bowl was announced, although it wouldn't be played until 1967, but it was announced in 1966. The Twister board game was introduced, ruining friendships ever since. The first Kwanzaa was celebrated in 1966, and maybe that's not pop culture, but I wasn't sure where else to put it. And in sad news, in 1966, my hero, Walt Disney, passed away. And obviously, he left behind an empire that still rules today. You know, Chris and I are slaves to Disney. We love all things Disney.
So let's talk money. Think life was cheap back in the day? Yep, you're right. A new house, $14,200. A new car, $2,653. Gas per gallon was only 32 cents. A loaf of bread was only 22 cents, and a movie ticket was $1.25. Can we get a time machine, please? Because those prices are insane.
Seriously, can you even imagine filling up your gas tank for less than $5?
Or how about I would get Marsh her own house?
Yeah, for that kind of money, yeah, she could get her own house. Those were the good old days for sure.
But of course, salaries were lower too.
That's true.
The average income in 1966 was around $6,900 per year. Still, life was definitely more affordable than today.
Yeah, you can say that again. Fashion in 1966 was all about bold colors, big prints, and experimental styles. Go-go boots became a must-have fashion item. Miniskirts got even shorter thanks to designer Mary Quant, who we mentioned in the 1965 episode. And psychedelic prints took over, and it looked like a lava lamp, and people wore it in their clothes.
I never had any of those clothes.
I've had miniskirts. I do. I have go-go boots now. They're go-go boot-esque. I like them. I love psychedelic prints, too. I feel like they've made comebacks throughout the years.
Some other wild facts from 1966 was the first credit card with a magnet strip was invented. Bye-bye cash-only shopping.
How did we ever live without cards you can swipe? I know some people prefer cash. I prefer to never have cash.
Yes. The space race was heating up with the Soviet Union landing a probe on the moon. The phrase flower power started popping up, kicking off the hippie movement.
I love that so much.
And 66 also brought us Twister, the game that probably caused a few pulled muscles.
Spit it out, Rewind. I think I just said that one too. But anyway, so the question is, why does 1966 still matter today? It matters because the Beatles changed how music was made. Star Trek inspired generations of scientists and dreamers. The 60s fashion revolution never really left, you guys. And those classic TV shows and movies are still iconic today.
So if you were born in 1966, these are the most popular names at the time. For boys, we have Michael, David, James, John, and Robert. And for girls, the most popular names were Lisa, Kimberly, Mary, Michelle, and Karen. If your name made the list, congratulations. You're officially vintage.
We hope you guys enjoyed this look back at the year 1966. Back when families ate dinner together, phones had rotary dials. If you don't know what that is, ask your parents, you kids out there. And if you wanted to change the TV channel, you actually had to get up and turn the dial on the TV.
And with that, our time machine is out of gas. If you loved this trip back to 1966, hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Until next time, keep it groovy and see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,